This is Mona Lisa Baseball.
One of the things I would at some point like to talk to you about is the creation of meaning through baseball.
God, let's talk about that right now. I don't even know what you mean.
This is when I get super philosophical. I was going to go through the window of Albert Camus and his concept of the absurd, man's quest for clarity and meaning in an uncaring universe. Right. So we find these ways to create our own meaning, right? It's kind of the basis of existentialism. And for me, baseball illustrates that point so well. You know, we got bases 90 feet apart, but somehow between these guidelines, it means so much to us. It's a revolt against that, what we call the absurd. Yeah. We're creating our own meaning throughout the game. Yeah. And for reasons that none of us here can explain, it's such a profound foundational part of our lives. Yeah. Anyways, so
this is great.
I was just thinking how many times I've been in a different town or city and just happened to come across a baseball field and go, oh, I'm going to walk on it. And there'll be a sign that says, you can't walk here. And it's like, well, I'm just walking on a field. I don't
know. Well, hold on. Maybe that sign meant you have to swing the bat.
What do you mean?
Well, I said you can't walk.
Oh, can't walk. That's philosopher. No,
it's a dad joke.
Totally teed up. I think that is one of the biggest problems is get the fucking bat off your shoulder. This idea that we're rewarding someone that took a ball that was a quarter inch off the plate just sucks to me.
Good eye.
Totally sucks.
Good eye.
Yeah, that's good eye. Told you, coach. Told you.
I can see it better than anyone. 1/16th of an inch off the plate. Yep. I know. I can tell.
Told you.
No, you can't.
Yep. That's a good replay.
Come on.
Remember.
You should be swinging.
I'm the one that told you. When you said that the ball's in play more than any other sport, you know what I pictured was just James Harden just dribbling. And you go, is that basketball action? Just 100,000 dribbles. One of these days, NBA is not going to have James Harden in it. And
it's coming up.
I was going to say it would make me happy, but it's probably somehow will make it worse. That's the paradox. Your least favorite player actually made the sport more fun.
Well, going back to your whole concept of it as a play, like you have someone to hate.
Yeah, totally.
We're talking about like existentialism.
Like I mentioned earlier, the through line between generations. And I think kind of harkening back to A1's approach to the game and how he views it as entertainment, it fulfills our need for storytelling and narrative. And I think that our world lacks a lot of that in this kind of reality TV world where everything's scripted and you can expect a certain product and it's fake and vapid and shallow, meaningless. Having a legitimate story unfold under your eyes, it fulfills something in us that it's becoming harder and harder to find other places.
Yeah, I know. I'm picturing like instead of Vin Scully in the booth, now you got
AI voice.
Like Pat McAfee. Who else do people like? Peyton Manning, let's get him in there.
It's swear to God, if McAfee ends up in the booth at a baseball game, I'm done. I'm absolutely.
That's your limit. Oh, that's great. For me, NL going DH was it. McAfee in the booth.
A14.
NLDH too, yeah. You know what? I forgot about that too.
He forgot about the NLDH. He forgot.
It's been so long now. I have so many gripes.
Yeah, no, that's legitimate. Yeah,
right? Get in line, gripes.
Yeah, right. You've come to the right place.
Well, you really just listed one, though, didn't you? I mean, you listed two. You started off with
Manfred Mann.
The Manfred Mann.
Ghost Runner, and then you mentioned the limited pickoffs, the stolen base rules. I didn't hear anything about banning the shift.
Well, the problem with banning the shifts almost became necessary because it became so analytical. You weren't playing the game normal. And I don't like it.
Don't you think that would have incentivized players to start to learn to go the other way and bunt more, though? Don't you think that would have balanced itself out over time?
Baseball does have a tendency to do that. But the problem is pitchers now are maxing out on every pitch, right? And it's so analytical. If they're going to pound you on the hands to figure out how to do it, yes, the bunt is a legitimate option to do. I don't know. I wish they had found a natural way to battle against it, but they didn't. And I was getting tired of seeing three people on the first base side. And so, selfishly, I like seeing them lined up in a more normal baseball position. And mm-hmm. if they were going to do it themselves, it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it didn't bug me at all. Like, living through Bonds being a Giant, they shifted on him majorly. And it seemed to me like good defense. Because he would hammer the ball. But they might still get him out. And you go, that's how you play good defense.
He still put up ridiculous numbers with them shifting on him. So you can't say it's prohibitive. Like,
absolutely. And could still go the other way, too.
Yeah.
But that can't be your baseline. You're talking about arguably the greatest hitter of all time who would just sure. hit over everyone and sure. over the wall.
But like, yeah. think of all the left-handers that's come before. Like, a bunch of them could go the other way. A bunch of them could do the drag bunt. And
yeah.
it's not encouraged anymore. It's like, it's all about your launch angle, you know?
No.
It's okay if you strike out, just get your pitch and just drive it.
I don't disagree. I don't not find it depressing. I'm just saying, it feels good to see it look like a normal infield again.
Right.
Yeah, okay, I follow you. Right. Do you think the rules are at least a little too prohibitive? Because it's like, you can't even play deep in the grass now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I get the two guys on one side of the field, I get that. But like, not being able to play deep in the outfield, having to keep your toes on the dirt, that's crazy to me.
No, that's cool.
They had to standardize all the fields so that the dirt was in the same place. They had to change Fenway.
That's horseshit.
That concept swung A10. I remember him saying, like, shift band, no, I'm fine with it. And he goes, wait, you can't play
deep?
A deep second base. He's like, no, I'm out on shift band, completely out.
It's hard, right? Because they're trying to write the rule books. They're trying to standardize it, but it's just like, there's no common sense way to write a rule for baseball.
Yeah. Okay, so you brought up Camus. I've yet to read him yet, but it makes me wonder, are you familiar with Roger Angel, and do you read him?
Sports writer, right?
He was a New Yorker writer and editor, but he had a specific passion for baseball. I've read several of his books. He's in a Hunter Thompson style. Like, he's at yeah. the center of the story. He's observing it, but he's very apt to describe a baseball game. Like, he's the one who sat down at Astrodome for the first time, and he's like, I grew up at the Polo Grounds. Now I'm in an air-conditioned living room, a very large one. This is interesting. I got a lady next to me that would never be at a baseball game ever, but now she can be indoors in the air conditioning, so now she's here. Is that good or bad? You know, he's making judgment calls on what he's seeing through the sport, but he was an adamant supporter of it's perfect. People always come to me with how they're going to make it better. It's a fool's errand. It's impossible. Let's appreciate what we have. And could recognize that I get why television is important. I get why we want to make the television people happy. It brings a lot of money into the sport. However, being at a ball game is the best. Like, that's the gold standard. It's not what you see on television.
It sounds weird. I don't know what you like.
So he writes like that, but what I love about him so much is he's writing from a contemporary angle. So even though you're reading about him writing in 1964, we weren't alive yet, but you can imagine it. And him talking about the cigar smoke at the Polo Grounds, it gives you a chance to get that essence of baseball we missed out on. But yet he understands the purity and how magical it is that they're just so happened to be a sport that came up with 90 feet in the bases and all that stuff.
Do you find that fulfilling and torturous at the exact same time?
I find it much more fulfilling than torturous because I've already had to live through this. And I can admit, I was not a good fan of baseball. I didn't buy jerseys. I didn't watch all the games, but it was so dependable for me. I never had to think about ever losing it. And I could participate when I wanted and always knew I was a hardcore baseball guy.
Yeah.
And then once it was taken from me, it was like, well, y'all are losing out on the real version.
I think that's kind of indicative of society at large, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
In a lot of ways that we took so many things for granted and still do, that when you see it erode, you're like, why? That was just the way it was. It's just standard. I thought we all agreed on this. And then when you see things start to disappear or change in a way that's negative, you don't really know how to respond. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't. I sat on this project for years. I was in that camp of like, there's no chance you're not throwing the four intentional pitches. Like, we cannot afford to lose this.
Just put four fingers in the air and the guy automatically gets the base. Don't worry about it.
I think people would have a hard time who weren't Giants fans understanding how many times we had to watch Bonds get intentionally walked. It was pretty alarming.
It was a lot.
But
as it was infuriating.
As a few things started happening, I just saw the writing on the wall, which was, this is not going to go well. I still don't know if I'm right or wrong on that. I mean, I know it in my heart, but in terms of all the baseball fans out there, I just don't hear very much resistance to anything new.
Yeah.
Because so many people disagree with me. But basically, when they went 2020, it's a short season, the pitchers aren't going to hit in the National League, it was like a full-blown, I need to start making notes now. I have to put out something that at least tells me when I go to sleep that I tried. And then A2 heard me. And then he's like, what do you think about a season two? I was like, season two? My manifesto's out. And he goes, I want to challenge your belief system. Great. And here we are, season five.
Trying to save baseball. Look, they went back to the team uniforms for All-Star. The golden at-bat rule is totally unpopular. It's not like we're losing on every single front. It feels that way sometimes. Mm-hmm. It does. I know. Trust me. The resistance is real, and we can galvanize. I mean, look, we got to take the victories that we're getting, okay? They didn't go to full robot umpire. They were just going to have a couple of appeals, okay? Without voices like ours, without people thinking the way that we do, then we'd have that full robot umpire like 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, you could say, oh, we're just slowing down the change, but...
Good.
Like, yeah, good, exactly. But, like, golden at bat rule, that would... I still have a passing interest in baseball. I still go to a few games. I drag A1 to games every once in a while, but, like, I'm more involved in the sport. I follow the Giants. But if they did golden at bat, I'd be out. That would be it for me. I'd be like,
that's yours.
Never again. Like, I would feel guilty giving them my attention because I know that makes them money, and I just want them to fail at that point.
Is that A1... Is it disinterest or is it not wanting to aid in the profit of assholes?
I think it started with disinterest, and like you keep bringing it up, that's life in general. And that's totally me. I went from sports to outdoor industry, and then that took more of my attention. I will always have an interest in the great important game because it's the ultimate reality show. It's like the people that are best at their sport, everyone wants to win. It's the best. Name your sport. I love it. I mean, I watched the all-time gold medal curling match, and I was enthralled in 2010. I mean, if it's happening, I'm down. Let's do this.
These are the best in the world.
Exactly. At some point, it's gotten where I'm out, but there's this muddy line of, am I out because I am not interested or I can't support them? And sometimes I can't really tell. But what I have noticed is as soon as that fucked up thing happens, I turn the TV off where I go, this would have been the perfect time for blank. And instead, and it's like, you know what? I got so many weeds to pull at my house. I'm going outside. Okay. Do you have a favorite baseball journalist?
I always liked Grant Bisbee. He was the first one on a blog called McCovey Chronicles. And he had this kind of, I mean, you would have loved it. It's very sardonic. Like, the team was struggling. He was funny, but he was knowledgeable and he made good points. And I think it works for The Athletic now.
That's right.
He was probably my favorite.
Does he just write about the Giants?
Yeah, he was local, just Giants. I don't know what he's doing with The Athletic because I can't get behind the paywall now.
Yeah, I've been there.
Mm. Doing national coverage now.
And every time someone sends me something from Wall Street Journal, it's like, all right, this will be good. And then I get 4 seconds in. It's like, hey, by the way, if you want to keep reading, it's like,
well, if they're good journalists, the important stuff's in the first couple sentences.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe it's just a picture.
Now it's just a meme from your grandma that somehow expresses something poignant.
All right, I got a hypothetical. If you could take the DH out of both leagues, would you do it?
Absolutely. In a heartbeat. I think the best example of that as a Giants fan watching yesterday's game, so Rafi Devers has been DHing, right?
Yep.
So yesterday was the first day that he played at first base, right? Which is a big point of contention back in Boston because he didn't want to do it. So he started first base yesterday, crushed it, had a fantastic game. And the post-game interview, they asked him, like, what happened? What was the change? And he said that he felt more engaged the whole time. He wasn't sitting in the dugout waiting for his at-bat. Baseball players should play the whole game. That's just what it is. If you're sitting there analyzing your last at-bat, worrying about the next, you're not playing baseball.
I don't think I've ever thought of that because I never had to play under those rules. And so what better to wipe away the last strikeout than turning a double play? And you're like, all right, I'm not that shitty.
Well, you may not have thought about it, but I'm sure you felt it. That's one of baseball's beautiful aspects is that it will wipe your memory because you have to focus on the next moment. All right, so I touched on Camus earlier, but one of his big things is his defense against absurdity being so present in the moment because you don't have the past, you don't have the future to focus on. What you really have is the present. So he's really big on living in the moment, and baseball forces you to do that. You can't think about anything else if you're going to be successful. I think it's a great fucking response to absurdity.
Let's live in the moment, but first let's get the replay.
Let's live in the moment, and then let's see what really happened.
Right. What actually happened? All right. Called strike three. There it is. Oh, nope.
Really? Moment felt different to me.
They have one appeal remaining.
Or how about when it's the top right corner, high outside, and they're going, no, that's a strike. And you watch the, and you go, I don't know. Should he have swung at that just because the box says he should have? Like it wasn't a good hittable pitch.
Me and my brother, when we used to play wiffle ball, I put up a piece of plywood and I spray painted the shitty strike zone, right? Basically, I was ABS before it ever came to.
I think every kid's gone through that, yeah.
He still argued.
Right.
But if it's close enough to argue, you should swing. Right.
I know. Come up with any rule you want for wiffle ball. Major League Baseball, I disagree. You reminded me of my least favorite criticism that I hear. And when people ask me this, I want to slap them because they're like,
I was hoping you were going to do a slap reference. So when I was binging the last couple of days,
the designated slapper.
I kept noticing a through line of slapping.
Okay.
Threaten to slap someone.
Well, it's better than threatening to punch somebody.
Yeah, it's been a while since I slapped someone, but this makes me want to slap them, especially if they call themselves a baseball fan. So you want to take Shohei out of the game? Okay. No, what I want is to earn your at-bats, you play fucking defense. So when you pitch every fourth or fifth game, you've earned it. But when you get yanked, you're out. And all those other days, if you're as good a hitter as everyone says you are, your manager will find a defensive spot for you.
Yeah, put him in right field.
Wherever you, if that's right field, great. I would love.
He's got an arm.
I would love to see Shohei going through it in the outfield.
He's done it like a handful of times.
Where you're like, well.
He's got a gun.
I mean, if he can throw 100, I would think so.
It'd be fantastic to watch.
Wouldn't that be great? And nobody brings that up. It's like, I'm hating on Shohei. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So that would be worthy of a slap.
Yeah. Hey, man, they made a special rule just so we could get a few extra at-bats when he was pitching and then was also the DH and would come out of the game. They're like, oh, no, hold on. And how quick did they make that rule? Like, let's make a whole rule just for you, dude. Just for you.
I remember you being so pissed.
You can stay in the game when they take you out as long as you've pitched five innings. Like, come on.
It's so indicative of how we're transitioning into a place where greed and profit maximization has become a virtue instead of a vice. It's so gross.
Oh, I know, right? Like, you will get in trouble. You'll get sued if you're like, hey, this isn't good for baseball. No, you have a fiduciary responsibility to the shareholders. Right. It's like, you'll get sued if you don't just take the money. They don't care about preserving the game. They don't. Golden at bat rule. Right there. Rob floated it. He was not joking.
He was very serious. The feasibility of it, I would like to believe, is lower.
Probably not going to happen anytime soon. But
Samson said it's coming.
We'll get the swing off before we get that, trust me.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, so I forced myself to listen to Manfred on the McAfee show. And I think it was about 25 minutes. And I realized I had to listen. And within his first sentence, he said it's his job to keep baseball relevant. And boy, did that insult me. Where you go, oh, 150 years wasn't enough of an example for you. You're the one that's going to keep it in the forefront.
No, NFL's kicking our ass. NBA's kicking our ass.
Which is why I wanted to get in the whole creation of meaning thing. It's because I don't mean to knock on those other sports, but it just seems like inherently the structure of baseball creates meaning. It just does. And to lose some of that is, it's so depressing. But at the same time, like I said, I will stick to that connection with the next generation as being the thing that's the most important to me, regardless yeah. of if it looks like how I want it to. If I can still utilize that as a tool to connect with my children and hopefully, fingers crossed, there's some version of that still around that they can utilize. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that's a win, even if I can't claw back the version I want.
Yeah, you know, it's not that far from my dad having to deal with me buying hip hop CDs and being like,
I can't wait for this.
This is what you want to hear. You go,
House of Pain?
Where did Dre get his doctorate?
I wouldn't visit him if I had an issue.
Maybe like 5 or 10 years ago, me and Sam were dabbling with Wonder Years because I grew up with it, but she wasn't familiar at all. So we started at season 1. I think we only made it till about season 3 or 4. But
pretty deep.
There was this amazing episode where they highlighted the Beatles. And so the kids are kind of laying on their stomachs in front of the TV. And it's the Beatles. And the dad goes like, that's not music. And the kids kind of turn around and they go, if that's not music, what is it, Dad? And he goes, noise. And every generation does it, you know? My dad, you know, he graduated high school in 1970. He's in the heart of rock and roll and all that. His old record collection, unbelievable. Although, no Doors, which was a little disappointing. Just unreal. And he had to go through me buying a Tupac album. He didn't like that. He couldn't believe it. So what I have to deal with now is, these kids are like, you like the old fogey version of baseball, like the 10-hour game? But here's what I was thinking. There's a time and a place for a 2.5-hour baseball game. 100%. Back in the day, they were 1 hour 40. But to fully take out a 4-hour playoff game that means everything and each pitch is just slowed down a little because it means so much, to eliminate that from the game is a massive mistake in my mind, because what is better than a grinded out playoff game when your team's involved? It's incredible.
That was the beauty of baseball, and it still is. There's a sense of timelessness in that moment, and non-fans won't get this, but in that moment, you're building tension. You're thinking about what could happen, and it's yeah. just, it's building the structure that is so powerful if you care, if you appreciate it. And when you're rushing it along, you're missing out on what makes it special.
Let's get this over with. Come on, Lee. I want to watch Friends.
That's a dated reference.
Oh, that's so good.
It's still going on TBS right now. I'm sure if I turn it on.
Oh, yeah. Reruns, of course.
So I didn't know how this was going to go. The way we came into this was he wanted me to talk about how philosophy intersects with baseball, right? As a hobby, I study philosophy, right? And I come into it in such a weird way. I kind of view philosophy, like, did you guys ever watch Home Improvement?
Yeah, enough.
Yes.
Yeah, you remember the neighbor, Wilson?
Right.
So the way I view philosophy is kind of like Wilson, right? He always had the right thing to say. Tim was doing his thing, and Wilson would say something that was poignant, and he appreciated it. So I studied a vast amount of philosophy because I don't want to stick to any one thing, but I've always thought that all the sage advice could be applicable in different areas at different times. When I was told that, yeah, you know, see if we can see where philosophy intersects, like, dude, there's so many ways I could go. Like, I don't prescribe to any one, like, thing. The only thing I really prescribe to is perspectivism, my personal version of perspectivism, which is kind of niche.
You were saying earlier, like, it's trying to look at different situations from different point of views, getting that perspective shift and seeking it out. I think that's what you were saying.
Seeking it. That's the biggest part.
Right. Like, actively being like, I want to look at this from another point of view. I know this point of view exists. I'm going to go expose myself to that. A lot of people don't ever even do that.
Exactly. And I believe there is an objective truth of human experience. And the only way to get close to that is to gather as many varied perspectives as you can. And that opens your eyes to it and you see the picture more clearly. And that means a lot to me. And so, in that spirit, I didn't know what you guys wanted to talk about. I kind of knew as soon as I heard the Little League stuff what's going on in our lives right now is kind of the idea of appreciation versus entitlement is a really easy transition into the creation of meaning and some of those things. But yeah, you would be blown away if you saw how many pieces of paper were around me right now.
Oh, God, I love it.
That's great. He came prepared. You're prepared.
I'm a professional.
He joined the meeting 15 minutes early.
My guy.
I had just said it. I'm like, wait, someone wants to join. I'm like, get the out of here. Like, I'm still getting my notes together. A14, I want to ask you a question.
What's up, man?
How bad would it have to get before you're like, you know what? I don't care. I'm out. Okay, so we're talking like full offensive team, full defensive team. 3-inning game with a swing off, you know what I mean? Like, how bad would it have to get for you to be like, okay, I'm gonna go seek out another league? Like, I don't care about Major League Baseball anymore. I can play real baseball with my kids. I can probably find something that's closer to that outside, even if I have to make it myself. How bad would it have to get for you to be like, fuck it, I'm out?
Well, it's kind of multi-layered, right? So it would be, one, my personal enjoyment of the game, right? Which I don't feel at this stage has diminished. But in your scenario, I don't think I'd recognize it, and it wouldn't be great. But man, if I had to accept that version, if it meant my kid was in it and he was playing 3 innings and he was the golden batter and all that crap.
Right.
I would still hang on to it if it meant at the end of the day, we could sit down and watch the game together and he'd be into it and I could look over and see him jacked. I'm okay with that.
Okay. What if 9-year-olds are getting Tommy John and you're encouraging them to play this sport? Would that be too far? Because I know there's a breaking point. I know we can find it.
I will give my son a preemptive Tommy John just to make sure that he's good.
Okay.
What it comes down to, and we talk about this, is perspective shift. And I value his enjoyment. If he's into it.
Okay.
If he's sitting next to me and going, Dad, this is bullshit, there's your breaking point.
Okay. I like this. Thank you.
That was the heart of the matter. Yeah.
Like, Daddy, I don't want a robot arm.
If my kids are going,
I like my real arm.
This sucks.
Oh, I was just going to say, every time I see swing a bat, I go, that's a baller.
Dude, she has been crushing.
I believe that.
She just finished her summer softball league, and we were working on timing. You know, every game, it was a double. It was a triple. And she's been doing really good. Her defense is really good. She sits in, like we used to do, she sits in the driveway with a pitchback and she was practicing her backhands for hours. And I was just like, hell yeah, that's how you get better.
That's what it takes.
You take wins when you get them, man.
Yeah.
She's 13, is 11, and is turning 4 in less than a month. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's so hard to believe. I'm so glad you said you had no idea what to expect, because in my mind, it just seems so obvious. But to think that you were really racking your brain, I have no idea what it's going to be like. It's a good reminder for me to hear that.
Just talking baseball.
I appreciate you guys letting me on here. And like I said, the whole appreciation versus versus entitlement thing. It's been very poignant in my life. And it was kind of cool to put it in a different context than child rearing.
Right. Okay. I want to touch on two things before we go. One was when I told about how the All-Star game ended. All I told her was it was a swing off and it was done in a home run derby. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the most casual. I don't even know if you can call her a fan. She'll go to a game and enjoy it. Casual fan. The very first thing she says upon hearing that it ended in a home run derby, she goes, well, doesn't that kind of ignore all the other aspects of the sport that are important, like defense and base running? I'm like,
yeah, it's not baseball.
You already know. It's that simple that my wife knew that within a second and a half. Is that really how we should be ending the game? It's just we're going to concentrate on if you can hit a ball over a fence.
Well, that's a game for children.
Yes. Yes.
It's worse than penalty kicks. At least in penalty kicks, you got the goalie.
I know, but we're picking it apart. It's a game for my kid to watch and go, that was cool. He hit some home runs. It's not for us. It's not for the baseball purists.
Yes.
It did resolve the game in a very reliable number of minutes.
The Little League thing I wanted to touch on. So
please do. Because first off, good on you, man, for getting involved and helping people out. That's fantastic. I love that.
Thank you. Do you know who he is? So basically, he calls me out of the blue and he goes, I'm in a pinch. I need a coach. Are you down? And gave me some parameters. So I think about this and I go, is my busiest time of year, but I can swing this. And if this fell in my lap and I'm going to do a baseball podcast, I realize if I said no, I'm basically a poser. If I can at all, I have to. So I did it. And it was so good for me to see the perspective of the kids. But there's this one batter that will always stick out. Okay. So we only had 9 kids on our squad. And that game we had 6 or 7. So the coaches are me and had to catch for our pitchers.
What?
Yeah. So I was catching and I looked to my right, first base dugout, and this swashbuckler comes walking up and he's kind of rocking his head back and forth. And he's 8, one of those bigger kids, right?
Sure.
He's got the eye black. He's got chains.
Of course.
In his right hand,
style.
He's flinging the bat around from the butt, just like flinging it like a whip. And I'm going, I'm pretty impressed at this point.
It's a lot of swagger.
So I'm thinking, hey, maybe this kid's got some pop. I'm ready to see it. He's got every motion down. This kid had no chance of making contact. He was awful.
Ah.
I'm not saying an 8-year-old should be the bomb.
Right.
But he had the look of the superstar. And to me, that summarized the whole season of it's more important to have the look than to be able to play catch with your buddy.
Superficial bullshit.
That was just the number one thing missing was these kids are playing with hard baseballs and they literally don't know how to defend themselves with their mitt. It was wild.
But he's got his own helmet.
He did have his own helmet. Yes.
I have so many gripes.
Get in line, Gripes.
Y'all are losing out on the real version.
All right, I'm going off on a tangent.
You can't play deep.
Good luck editing this shit.
A14, everyone.
Best in the world.
I love you and thank you for having me on. This was fantastic.